Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Let us say hello to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. It has been a minute since we have had the opportunity to chat like this. Back in the Octagon, December 16th, UFC 296, massive year-end event. He will take on the undefeated Shavkat Rakhmonov. Wonderboy, good to see you, my man. How are you?
It's great, man. I'm glad to be on with you, my friend. Busy, man. Training camp's going well. Obviously, still teaching classes, doing the after-school pickups. It's wild and crazy, but I love it.
Yes, you're part of this MMA world. You're ingrained in it as a fighter. So if it's crazy as a journalist, I'm sure it's 10 times crazier as a fighter for you. So, and this is a really interesting time for you because, as everybody knows, you were supposed to fight Michel Pereira in July. We all know what happened there with the missing weight, and you chose not to take the fight, which is, I've had your back the entire time with that, by the way. Then, you know, the whole thing with the pay, and now you're fighting Shavkat Rakhmonov when it seemed like maybe you and Kamaru Usman were sort of circling the wagons a little bit. So there's a lot been going on in your life all the time, but more specifically in the last 3 months. So how would you describe the last 3 months from the Friday before UFC 291, when Michel Pereira missed weight, to right now? What have these last few months been like for you?
It has been pretty crazy, man. I mean, with a lot of things that could have happened that didn't, you know, with the fight, obviously, with Michelle, and then the possibility of fighting Kamaru Usman had been exciting. But, you know, that was all wild and crazy. Me and the UFC and my management, we've settled everything. So everything's great. And Kamaru Usman ended up calling me out. And I was like, dude, you know, the UFC's wanted me to face these guys who have been ranked behind me, that I have the number one contender calling me out. But the UFC, I think they had different plans, or at least Kamaru Usman had different plans. So I was kind of left with nobody. And they offered me Shavkat, and who's a guy that's been ranked above me. And not only is he ranked above me, but he's one of the scariest dudes in the UFC right now, especially in the welterweight division. Undefeated, 100% finish rate. The guy's super, super strong, super tough. And now's the time, I think, for me to prove myself. I've kind of looked at it as a blessing, you know, for me to go up, fight somebody ranked above me, and prove to the world and the UFC that I deserve another title shot, you know? So if I go out there and do what I know I can do against Shavkat, then I could be there, hopefully there pretty soon, within the next year or two.
You said something that I want to touch back on. You said you and the UFC have settled everything. You and your management in the UFC have settled everything. I know when you were last on with my colleague, Ariel Helwani, you were hopeful that perhaps this would all come together with the pay with this fight, because, you know, you didn't get paid at first, but kind of gone back and forth. Seemed like your management was working it out. So you're saying all this is taken care of. We're good. The bank account is healthy now.
Yeah, man. I mean, we settled with something that we were both happy with, and that was kind of that. And that was it. It took a little bit. Obviously, they're a business and they had a lot of stuff going on. And so have I. So my managers have been kind of taking care of everything. But yeah, man, I was happy with everything what the UFC has done for me. And you know, we got away from this last fight with a smile on our faces. So not only that, but, you know, be able to get a fight, obviously, against a top opponent and one of the best, I think, one of the stacked cards of the year, the last card of the year. And it's going to be one of the best cards, I think.
Yeah, it's the welterweight division especially is going to be on display with the main event in for the title, and we'll talk about that in a minute as well. But you know, back it was about a year ago, maybe Shafkat was a name that got brought up to you a lot, and you're like, maybe not. But obviously, the Jeff Neal fight is one of the best fights of the year. It was absolutely insane. We got to see him test it a little bit, and he came through with an insane finish, that bulldog choke that was just absolutely nasty. Was it the Jeff Neal fight that kind of changed things for you on top of just nobody was really available? What really changed in your views and wanting to fight Shafkat and being open to that idea?
Yeah. Well, at first, to be honest with you, I didn't know who he was. I wasn't keeping an eye on some of the guys that were lower ranked than me in the division. I felt there were more guys that were higher ranked, more deserving of a fight. So I ended up turning the fight down. But after that, I definitely kept my eye on him. You know, just to see what this guy is all about. I knew he was undefeated, but I really didn't know who he was. And that's just me being truthful. But keeping an eye on him, especially what he did against Neil Magny. I was watching that fight, which is awesome. And then Jeff Neal, who is known as the dark horse, who I've actually went five minute rounds with, wasn't able to finish him. But Shafkat did in three rounds. It was a tough fight. It had that last minute bulldog choke at the very end. And, you know, what the hype around this guy, and that he's good everywhere. He's a great grappler, great striker, and he's a guy that comes to fight. You know, I know if I face this guy, and everybody is always hesitant on when I go up against grapplers because they're afraid they're going to go the Gilbert Burns route and just hold me, you know, which doesn't make for an exciting fight. And at the time, I really didn't know that guys would win fights that way. You know what I mean? But Shafkat is the guy, he's the type of guy that's going to go out there and fight you. He's not just going to hold you just to win. He's going to try to sleep you or try to submit you, which makes for an exciting fight. So that's what I'm all about, man. I want to go out there and prove myself against the best and do it in an exciting manner. And so where the UFC and the fans are entertained. And when I fight guys like that, I feel like it brings the best out of me. So I'll be able to go out there and put on a show and be able to prove to the UFC that I am deserving of a title shot.
Because he said to you in the past, don't worry about it. I'm not even going to try to take you down. We'll just get in there and slug it out. Do you believe him? Like, I mean, obviously you got to prepare for everything, but do you kind of see like that's a possibility that he's just going to stand there and try to prove something and just try to outstrike you?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I mean, just as everybody that I faced that said that they were going to do that and they ended up, you know, going a different route, ended up trying to shoot and take me down. But Shafkat is a very good striker. And I think he's going to go out there and just beat me the way he's beat everybody else. You know, use every tool that he's got in his arsenal to do so. If that's striking, if that is wrestling, his clinch, is grappling. So I'm going to go out there and face off against the best Shafkat Rakhmonov, and wherever the fight goes and whatever happens, I'm going to go out there and give it all. I mean, if it's a knockout, if it's not, I'm going out there with my hands raised at the end of the fight.
You've said time and time again, all of our conversations over the last couple of years, I don't care what anybody thinks. I want to get back to that belt. If people don't think I can get there, I don't care. I'm just going to go and try to get there anyways, because at this point, you're a day older than I am, Stephen. I understand what this is all about. I understand we're kind of on the last legs, but you still love doing this, but you want to get one more last crack at that title. So you go out there and you defy the odds and you beat a guy like Shafkat Rakhmonov on the same card where the welterweight title is being defended. Where does this put you? Do you feel like you're a fight away, two fights away? Like, where do you think a win over Shafkat puts you in this division?
Oh man. I mean, one of the scariest guys in the division who nobody wants to fight. The guy's undefeated. He's potentially the next welterweight champ is what I'm hearing. Dude, it gets me at least two fights away. I mean, maybe you have to fight the number one contender and then a title fight. I don't know, but it's got to put me right up there with that title contendership. You know what I mean? Whoever the number one contender is at the time, could be Colby Covington, could be Kamaru Usman. I don't know, but I'll be facing off against one of those guys for sure. That's what I believe.
Do you feel that it is better for your chances if one guy wins over the other in the main event? Like if Leon wins, maybe meritocracy continues to rear its normal head. And if Colby wins, everything just kind of blows up into smithereens and anything could happen. Like, do you feel like one guy needs to win for your title chances to improve?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I mean, even if Colby Covington wins, you know, Usman's beat him twice, right? So he's fought everybody else. I mean, but it would be more exciting if Leon Edwards would have it because, you know, I've tried to fight the guy in the past and he said no, called him out a few times. He's more of a striker than he is a grappler, even though he did take down Kamaru Usman at the first round to hold him down. He's got that, but I do feel like he's more apt to keep the fight standing and put on a show for the fans. Colby Covington, he's going to be shooting all day. He's going to be shooting and try to outlast you, try to beat me on the ground. But I think Leon's going to be more of an exciting fight. So I would love to see Leon take it home.
Do you feel like he does in your heart of hearts?
I think so. I really do. I really think that he can do it. I mean, we saw what Kamaru Usman did to Colby, right? And we know how strong and how big of a fighter Leon Edwards is. He's got great cardio. He's just as dangerous in the fifth round as he is in the first, as we saw the first fight with Kamaru Usman. He has great takedown defense and he's very intelligent fighter. So I do believe that he's going to come out with the W.
We weren't sure what Kamaru Usman was going to do coming out of the second Leon Edwards fight, right? We thought maybe Bilal Muhammad, there are talks about, well, we got something from Bilal. We're like, well, what else makes sense besides Kamaru? And then 12 days notice after Paulo Costa gets injured, he steps in to fight Khamzat Chimaev, who has just been an absolute wrecking ball. And the man performed admirably. Khamzat looked like the greatest fighter we had ever seen for 5 minutes. Usman weathers the storm, wins round two, arguably wins round three, depending on who you ask. What did you make of Kamaru's performance on short notice against Chimaev?
I thought it was great. I did believe, you know, he did fatigue. Obviously, he's known for his cardio. But on a 12, 11-day notice, oh my gosh, to go three rounds nonstop, it was awesome. I thought he did a very good job at 185. And to be honest with you, I feel like Khamzat is a small middleweight. You know, compared to most guys in the welterweight division, I feel like he's a small welterweight. I just think he's a little lazy and doesn't want to get down to the 170. but that said, you know, I thought Kamaru Usman was awesome. I thought he did a really good job. And now I'm hearing, you know, he might stay at 185. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of guys at 185 that is, you know, calling Kamaru Usman out. So I don't know. We'll see where he goes for sure. I mean, he does make the 170 fairly easy. So I feel like he could possibly go back down to the welterweight division and possibly face off against Bilal Muhammad here in the future. So we'll see.
How'd you react if he stayed in middleweight? That could be almost like the one that got away in some respects. Like, I just can't imagine you guys not fighting each other at some point.
Yeah, that would be a kind of a disappointment. I mean, he's a good guy. We've hung out a few times, very honorable guy. But I think it would be a great fight. And like he said, I'm the one guy that got away. So he ended up calling me out, obviously. Obviously, the UFC didn't like that. So he went somewhere else. But I think it would be a cool fight.
Let me ask you this, because we mentioned Bilal Muhammad and you stepped in the octagon with him. And by all sort of merits and the way we sort of construct who should be next in line to fight for the title, I don't know what else Bilal Muhammad really needs to do at this point.
Yeah.
I've been taught a long time ago to strike the word deserves from my vocabulary when it comes to UFC and title shots and rankings and all of that. But you've been in weird positions yourself because it wasn't all that long ago because I was running through 2016 for a show because people are trying to compare this year to 2016. And I was like, this is all the stuff that happened in 2016, including a pay-per-view being not really canceled, but taking off pay-per-view and then changed to FS1 the week before the card. And you just happened to be in the main event and you knocked out Johnny Hendricks. And we were wondering when you were going to get your shot. When are you going to get the title shot? Tyron Woodley wins the belt. And it's like, well, I want to fight GSP or I want to fight Nick Diaz or somebody like that. And you're like, come on, man. Like, what do we have to do here?
Yeah.
Bilal Muhammad called you right now and said, Steven, I don't know if I can get this title shot right now. Like, what else do I need to do to get in this position? What would you tell him? Because you've been in these kinds of positions yourself.
I would tell him to wait, man. I would say, look, you're deserving of the title. If you face off against anybody else, I mean, anything could happen at this point, especially with these guys at this level. I would tell him, look, man, I would wait for it, bro. I would wait on it. I would let the UFC know. I would get on social media. I would do everything I can to get this guy to fight me or to get that title shot. But yeah, man, I mean, he's fought and have beat some of the best guys in the welterweight division, including myself. And you know, Damian Maya, I would like to see him fight Leon Edwards again because of the eye poke. You remember the last time they ended up, you know, they ended up canceling the fight because of a dang eye poke. Like, come on, man. It started off as a good fight. And that was one fight that I would love to see finished. So I would say, wait for it, man. Don't take another fight until you get, let the UFC know where you stand and get that shot.
This has been,
because when you don't know what, eight fight winning streak.
Yeah, he hasn't lost in a long time.
That's ridiculous.
I think Jeff Neal was the last guy to beat him.
Yeah. I mean, what the heck? What else do you do?
I don't know. My whole thing, and it's kind of like silly, but I've been saying from day one, I'm like, Bilal just needs to be better when the mic is on him, because there are certain times where he wins a big fight. And I remember tweeting out at one point, I'm like, just call out Khamzat. Just go all in on Khamzat. Like, you'd call him out in other interviews. Like, just go now. Like, now's the time. Like, don't call out Usman. Don't call out Colby. And then he goes and calls out both of those guys and not Khamzat. I'm like, no, what are you doing? Like, realistically, you're not going to get that fight right now. But the performances have spoken for themselves. Like, him showing up on 12 days notice or whatever it was to beat Gilbert Burns the way that he did. Like, the man deserves it. But
100%. I would love to see that fight, though, with him and Khamzat.
Both, I would have loved wrestlers to have seen it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, both have and the thing is, Bilal has cardio as well. He's got cardio for days. And Khamzat is notorious for fatiguing. And he was fatigued after his last fight, after the third round. He was still huffing and puffing because he gives all he's got into that wrestling. He just squeezes the air, the life out of his opponent. But that would be a great fight. I mean, you saw the takedown defense against Bilal Muhammad and Damian Maia, who I hear is one of the strongest 185ers, let alone welterweights out there, and he couldn't get him down. I think that would be an exciting fight for sure.
Absolutely. This has been a year of guys defying the odds. Sean Strickland is the middleweight champion of the world, and what everything else that has happened. Steven, Francis Ngannou arguably beat Tyson Fury in a boxing match this past Saturday.
I know.
Like, what is going on here? Did you watch the fight?
No, I didn't watch. I didn't actually watch the fight. We had guys that I was helping corner during all that. We had some guys fighting this past weekend, but I went back and watched the highlights, the knockdown. This is a guy who's fought MMA, and we've seen a lot of guys go boxing and see what the boxers have done. It's a completely different sport, right? Even though it's a combat sport, it's completely different, man. And the rule settings and everything. So to be able to see somebody like Francis Ngannou end up knocking the heavyweight champ down, right? And what the heck? You know, I freaked out. Like, what the heck is just? I mean, obviously Tyson Fury won. He won as boxers do, outpointing your opponent. You know, controlling the ring, just picking his shots, but. In MMA, I feel like power shots account for more than just outpointing your opponent. You know what I mean? So I feel in my eyes that, you know, that could have possibly gone. If that was the MMA fight, that could have possibly gone. You know, that would have been Francis Ngannou's win just because of the power shots that he threw, defying all odds, knocking down the heavyweight champ, which should not have happened.
Pride rules, Francis wins.
Oh, 100%.
Francis wins pride rules. I mean, you saw the next day, Francis doing his thing on his YouTube channel, and he looks, doesn't even look like he's been in a fight. And then Tyson does one on his, and he looks like he got hit with a sledgehammer. The black eye.
Some guys just have that one hitter quitter power. There was a guy that I sparred against. It was up in Montreal when I was training with GSP with the Grant brothers. And there was Adonis, I forgot his last name, he's a former champion, but I've never been hit so hard in my life. I got hit in the arms and my arm went numb just from the power of this guy had. But I feel like Francis has that power. You know, he just has it. Some guys don't, but he just has it. So if he touches you anywhere, you're going to feel it. So after the fight, like, for sure. I mean, he looked like he was in a stroll in the park, and then Tyson Fury, who's got the black eye and all that good stuff, looks like he's been beat up. But hats off to Francis Ngannou to go out there and face somebody in a completely different sport. You'll never see a boxer do that. You won't see a boxer come to MMA. Won't happen.
No, There's talks about maybe Deontay Wilder coming over and doing like a mixed rules fight with Francis, which would be fascinating.
It did happen once, and we saw what happened.
Yeah,
they got a fight. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, and that's why it will never happen again for that reason right there.
I was there that night when James Toney
took an ass whoop.
It was in Boston. That's where you lived most of my life. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I had no idea that you've been at it that long.
Yeah, man. James Toney is, he sold it. He made us believe.
Yeah. He's going to take it down low singles, man. Let me stay away from his hands. There is a guy that I think could possibly have done well. And that's just Mike Tyson.
Oh yeah.
I mean, lower center of gravity, thick legs, really strong. But anyway, we can go in all day on that.
Absolutely. It was like having a young whippersnapper Chase Hooper back in the gym. Now he's a lightweight. He's got the muscle mass now. Look at this guy.
I saw him. I was like, boy, you're bigger than I am. He was literally bigger than me when he came in, for real. And you know, I'm considered, I mean, I'm not big welterweight, but he was massive. And the guy's improved tremendously, man. I mean, since the last time that he was here, he's worked on a ton of stuff that we have been practicing with him on, and he's gone back and almost perfected it. So you'll see his striking improve a ton. So I'm looking forward to it, man. The kid's great, and he's still growing every day, which is cool to see. You know what I mean? I mean, got in the UFC, one of the youngest UFC signings out there, you know, ever. And then just to watch him grow has just been a pleasure.
Yes, and we are looking forward to his return against Jordan Leavitt. We're looking forward to your return against Shavkat Rakhmonov. UFC 296, do not miss it. Final pay-per-view of the year, and that card is absolutely stacked. Steven, great catching up with you, my man. I appreciate the time. All the best in the rest of camp, and we'll see you back in that octagon December 16th.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.